Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
It's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the COS show. Good evening.
Good evening.
So is Captain John here?
Captain John should be here. He was, this is Nikki in Pennsylvania. He was talking about going in further with the Freedom of Information Acts.
Captain John, where are you?
Well, I don't see him yet. There we go. He's here.
Okay, oh, Captain hey. John, you're the man of the hour.
I'm going to mute out.
Hello there. Yeah, there were some issues with the prior call, so I guess we're on and live and going, and I missed the introduction, so hello, everybody.
Hello.
Remember that everything that Nikki and I offer in these calls is specifically earmarked to start up a committee of safety and what to do with it when you get it up and running. So we keep giving you tools to do that. One thing I do want to mention is that at some point you got to get out of the house and you got to talk to people. And I can't teach you people skills. That's up to you. That's something you're going to have to master in your own way. But what I can do is give you something to talk about. We have prior talked about Freedom of Information Act, FOIAs, and we've talked about affidavits. So those are the tools in your belt that will be relevant to the presentation tonight. I revisit Rob Ryder and his perspective on the status determination letter, the IRS status of determination letter. And I went and re-listened to the video, and I guess I just missed how powerful this really is, because I had mentioned that no municipal corporation that has been investigated has this IRS status determination letter, and they're fraud. And we had talked about, well, you may have interest in the school board, you may have interest in a park district, whatever. But my point is that you can have the whole enchilada. Why go for the crumbs when you can have the whole sandwich? And, of course, everything that you're about to hear is addressed at the county level, and a FOIA, and the IRS determination letter. And there's nobody better to do this than Rob Ryder himself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the first 24 minutes of that video. I've already done a sound check. So if you can't hear this, it's your problem with your equipment at your end. So you have two options. You can go walk the dog and come back at 8:30. Or you can queue up the video on your own computer. So with further ado, here comes Rob Ryder.
ASHLEYRYT, LEWSKI@gmail.com. Or snail mail by two Rob.
Well, a little bit of his commercial. I tried to queue it up as close as possible. It'll start up in just a minute or
two. And this is Wednesday, September 10th.
Here we go.
So some of these you might want to think about. If you're in court, you may want to say, say you're in a traffic case, whatever, something to do with local government. You're going to want the EIN, a completed W-9, and the IRS determination letter for the municipal corporation you claim to represent. Of course, you're talking to somebody when you say that. So I need the EIN, completed W-9, IRS determination letter for the municipal corporation you claim to represent. Alternatively, I need the plaintiff's EIN, which is the employer identification number, legal title name, license to do business under the assumed name, and an IRS determination letter for your plaintiff, for your client. So the first one is something you might do with like I said, if you're in trouble with some apparent government entity, and the second one would be if you're, let's say, in a foreclosure, right? Write the attorney a record and tell them you need to plead to CIN, their legal title name, and their license to do business under an assumed name, because the plaintiff's name that you're going to see on your documentation, you're not going to find anywhere. They don't exist. Right? There is one, there is a bank that exists under a name slightly different or a lot different, but as it's written in the blank as the plaintiff, you're not going to find them. So write to the attorney of record for that plaintiff and tell him you need that plaintiff, write the name down, just the way you see it on the paperwork. For the court case, whatever it is, you need their EIN number, their legal title name, their license to do business under an assumed name, and an IRS determination letter. So, just real quick, there's a Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, the Federal, State, Local Government Compliance Self-Assessment, right, FSLG, which is one of the agencies we make contact with our complaint. But it gives elected officials, and it gives a definition. It says elected officials are subject to the degree of control that typically makes them employees under the common law. Under common law, if you hire an employee, you have the power to direct their actions or how they accomplish a task. If it's a, what's the other one, independent contractor, you don't have any control over how they complete the task, only that they do complete the task that you've given them. But anyways, the reason is examples of public officials include, but not limited to, governor, mayor, county commissioner, judge, justice of the peace, sheriff, constable, registered deed, building and flood inspectors. These are the people, because they say that they're officers of something, right? Okay, well then, officer, I need the EIN, complete a W-9, and an IRS determination letter for the municipal corporation government entity you claim to represent. And the thing about, this isn't really done by, we are doing it by FOIA, Freedom of Information, can do it by FOIA, but you could just direct your questions to one of these officers and tell them, hey, I need this information. If they don't give it to you, well, it's supposed to be publicly disclosed information, and so they've already broke the law. You know, what are we going to do about it? We're asking for next. But what you might want to put on a FOIA, things to ask, or on any correspondence you may want to send to try to get this information, you're going to want to get their EIN number, their employee identification number. So it's not an EIN number, it's EIN, which is the employer identification number. A completed W-9, articles of incorporation, articles of association, could be one or the other, application form 1023 or application form 1024, which are the two different forms used to apply for some kind of tax exempt or nonprofit status. And what other one was there? Form 990 return. A Form 990 return, which some don't need to have, but there, everybody, and I pointed this out in the last video, there's a Form 990 dash something, electronic only, even for entities whose gross receipts were less than $25,000 to fill out. And an IRS determination letter ruling on their status. Because you don't just apply, the IRS has to agree. And they have to agree every year. Well, at least that's what it looks like. I did some videos on the church, and it showed that the church has a group determination letter from the IRS to this to the bishops' conference, which must mean the bishops' conference is some kind of civil corporation. Not surprising, but nonprofit. And so every year, they get this letter, and it said, records show that in 1948, you got your first determination letter, and blah, 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 and it's still in effect, and, you know, whatever year it is. They have to get one every year. So, if they can't produce this paperwork, it's a very good sign that, hey, you're not who you say you are. If they want to be a municipal corporation, municipal corporations can take tax-exempt contributions. Yeah, that's why you need a W-9. It'd be a contribution. Well, in that case, but the same with the church. If the church wants a contribution, whoever it is, they need to provide you a W-9. So you say, I need your W-9. Why? Well, I want to contribute. Right? This is part of them getting you to sign papers that only you sign as a unilateral contract, because unilateral contracts are only used for gifts and donations. Right? If it was a business deal, you'd both be signing the contract. And they never sign anything. You open up a bank account, they don't sign. So, you go to get a loan, they don't sign. Nobody signs. Utilities turned on, nobody signs. You're the only one that signs. It's all gift or donation from you in a system that's set up for them to take this donation. Apparently put it into some kind of camper account and, live off the interest. So based on this, on these things, and having gone and asked for some of this and gotten some things back, I have to thank Roe for that, because she's a go-getter, goes and gets all this stuff. Wonderful. She has some stuff to look at, and it prompted me to write the following complaint, which I'm about to send to the U.S. Department of Treasury, Office of the Inspector General. Eric M. Thorson is the occupant. And so they have a waste, fraud, and abuse link on their page. And there's also the U.S. Department of Treasury for tax issues or something like that. They have one. We could do it there also. But because this isn't just tax issues, this is just waste, fraud, and abuse and enslaving of mankind, I'm going to send it to this one first. And it just appeared to me as I was thinking about doing this video, it would be better to start at the end of where I am now and go back and show where the information is and where it came from, and then maybe decide, well, shit, I'm going to do this here. All right, so I'm going to send a complaint, actually an information, to the Office of the Inspector General, U.S. Department of Treasury, and we'll see what they say. Last time I did this, it wasn't to this one, it was to the one for taxes, but, not going to be last time, but the first time I did this, they had a special agent call me, and he came, and we talked for an hour and a half, him and his partner, and they bought me 3 cups of coffee, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me this whole movement, or whatever you want to call it. They told me that's the most intelligent explanation for why I've ever heard, why a man believes what he believes. That was 3 years ago. Okay. So, I'm going to say, please send a special agent, the Inspector General, to administer me an oath, take my deposition, and witness my affidavit testifying to vacated, constitutionally enacted public offices inhabited by usurpers of the sovereign powers of the state. Supposed governmental units, political subdivisions, municipal corporations having no lawful standing, and an association of conspirators using color of law and a simulated legal process as part of an organized criminal syndicate scheme to enslave mankind by such means as the enforced disappearance of a person. That's why you're always sued in your surname, comma, given name, because they won't sue you in your proper name. Then they'd actually, commit a crime. Antitrust, tax evasion, human trafficking, and other crimes against humanity by entities claiming entitlement to tax exemption and non-profit status. Yes, that is what's happening. The scheme is simple enough. Act like you're a municipal corporation without obtaining a determination letter from the IRS confirming tax exempt status. Use the sovereign powers of state to enforce free labor. Pump the ill-gotten gains into CAFR accounts, report nothing to the IRS, and live off the interest. Entities involved include towns, townships, villages, cities, counties, school districts, road districts, drainage districts, and others as determined by the Internal Revenue Code. vacate constitutional offices, conceal method of proper registration of electors in their municipalities, issue bonds instead of using net assets to pay debt, send notice of levy to undetermined addresses, then claim non-payment of tax, issue a lien against the local government, which is the people, you, the electors, then put local government into Chapter 11. That's all stuff we covered a year and a half, 2 years ago. Corporations apply for an EIN, but either do not file an application for tax exemption by way of IRS Form 1023 or 1024, or don't ask IRS for a determination letter, never file any form of Form 990, nor properly fill out a W-9. Use a common name and conceal the legal title name associated with the EIN. You do those steps there, hey, you're in. Right? You are now as evil as they are. The de jure offices are exempt, are empty, excuse me, and actors are usurping the sovereign powers of the state, the power to tax, the power of eminent domain, and the police power. Those are the powers of the state, so says the IRS. Suspected possessed devil-worshipping pagans use these powers to restrict free trade and commerce, coercing others to contract with them by way of a unilateral contract, a gift, or donation. You're just going to give us, right to them, they're saying you're just going to give us your property. You promised we'd get your signature. Isn't that your signature? Right? So if you break your promise, well, that would be a sin. You're a liar. So they're going to use Old Testament law against you. Concealing the legal title and principal address of their corporation, they sue as a fictitious plaintiff, such as people in the state of Michigan. That's like a common name. That isn't the name of the organization that it represents. That's a common name. The unsuspecting alleged defendant, that's a guy's surname given name, right, like a John Doe. It's a kind of a John Doe fictitious entity in need of an administrator. So an administrator's claiming a trust relationship, manipulate the accounts of our all caps estate, your name in all caps, but never appeared to represent us. Overlapping municipal jurisdictions, claim the right to tax, quasi-courts enforced with police power, and all of them involved in claiming your property by eminent domain, abandoned, or the like. They have practice courts for practicing attorneys to act using fictitious plaintiffs and defendants in uncontested property hearings, or coerce the donation of property by way of unilateral contract. Even employees of religious institutions get on the act, forming civil corporations under conditions contrary to both church and state law. Whole bunch on the church coming up. Foolproof evidence to this man-made disaster, which would allow your rapid response, investigation, and use of superintendent control by the federal government, is as close as you, now this is talking to the Treasury, checking these entities' EIN numbers against IRS filings for tax exemption and IRS-issued determination letters confirming tax-exempt status. First, they got to apply. Then they have to be confirmed. For probable cause, simply check for determination letters from the IRS for the following EINs of supposed tax-exempt municipal corporations and examine the attached W-9, which is for the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County, 36-006-541. That's your EIN number. When you take that EIN number, you go to the, right, so now we're talking about what we think of as a court, the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County, Illinois, Chicago. You take that number, and you go put it into the IRS website where they have a spot for you to check for tax-exempt status of EIN numbers. It'll come up and say, no record found. It'll do the same when you put in the city of Geneva's, Geneva Public Library Districts, Kane County County 303, Kane County Community School District 303. Put any of those in, they all come up the same, no records. Yet these are all supposed to be tax-exempt municipal corporations. There you go. The W-9 certification for the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County indicates backup was only required for supposed tax-exempt entities. So we're going to look at some interesting things to look at W-9. I didn't know we were there before, but we should be pointing them out. These crimes I have now informed you of are within federal subject matter jurisdiction by way of acts of Congress, such as the Civil Rights Act 1866, which says they can no longer use color of law against you, and the Sherman Antitrust Act. The Internal Revenue Code, Titles 15, 18, 26 of U.S. Code. Thankfully, the amended Inspector General Act of 1978 made special agents of an Inspector General ex officio deputy U.S. Marshals, conferring on said agents the power of a federal magistrate judge. That's the dude that can take your sworn complaint. Right? He can take your complaint, put the seal on it, boom. He's done that. He believes there's probable cause. Now he can take it to the district court judge to get the an arrest warrant. As the sovereign of a nation of one, citizen of the kingdom of heaven, ex officio member of the federal government, I respectfully order your participation, investigation, and annihilation of these enemies, foreign and domestic. Further, I ask you identify the municipality where we should or where we are supposed to register our natural and legal persons so as to claim it as our domicile, recognize us having a sui juris legal personality, ostries conforming the temporal order to the will of the Lord. Ostries, be the doorkeepers of the kingdom of heaven, or keep them devil worship of pagans out. You want to come in and try to sue in a fictitious name? I'm afraid not. Everything is by your name. Right now, they've slandered your God-given character and your good name because they sue you in this fictitious name, this bastardization of your name. Adulteration, actually. Hey, that's against the commandments, too. Who is my local federal district court judge? Can he witness my sworn allegiance, set my sureties, and determine my recognizance bonds? Eric M. Thornton. Our Lord Emmanuel, the Christ Jesus, Son of God, ask for your testimony. Shall you allow the continued persecution of his people? Will you allow God's enemy to continue this rule? Or will you be his servant manifesting this prophecy? They will not know the hour of my coming. That's what I'm counting on. I pray you are his servant and await your reply. Please have your agents contact me as soon as possible so we may bring on their Armageddon. Have them bring along the IRS determination letter or U.S. Department of Treasury. Because, guess what? That's a municipal corporation. I want to see the IRS determination letter that you really exist. Signed, Robert Allen Rutluski, Officer Christ, blah, blah, blah. They have my address stuff on. So that's what I'm thinking of sending to. So let's see where we go from here. Here's some things. So, now, the IRS doesn't issue a tax-exempt number. What the IRS issues is an EIN, Employer Identification Number, that you can use for identification. And the IRS will give you, based on that number, a determination letter if you're tax-exempt or not. But the state does offer tax-exempt numbers. Right, so when you're talking about tax exemption, what we found when I sent a FOIA, they want to send something like this from the Illinois Department of Revenue, and I'm just saying this is nice, it has nothing to do with you, but what can we learn from it? So this was to the County of Kane Treasurer. What I find interesting, we have issued the following new tax exemption identification number to the County of Kane of Geneva, Illinois. Well, how can the County of Kane be of the city of Geneva? Geneva is a city in the County of Kane. Where is it? Right? Or is Geneva Ill the municipal corporation and the County of Kane is an extension of that? It's just interesting, right? So here we go, County of Kane. But they've issued it to County of Kane of Geneva Hill. So County of Kane by itself is the common name. It's not the legal title name of whatever this entity is. There's one thing. Okay, well, they're doing business in an assumed name because it isn't their legal name. That's an assumed name. They should have a DBA. They should have a license to do business. They should have a license to solicit. They should have lots of things. And not just the city of, but, or the county of, but any of these municipalities.
Okay. That's all I wanted to cover with that particular video. This information is astounding. The more I've listened to this, the more I get it. Did you guys hear what he was talking about specifically with the counties and how in this particular case I had mentioned in a prior call, the county of Kane doesn't even exist. It's under the city of Geneva. I mean, that's astounding to me. And this information is incredible. So here we have this presentation by Rob that explains to us all about this IRS letter of determination. They're all, they being any municipal corporation that he has looked at, has not got the determination of status for tax-free exemption as a municipal corporation. And that's what I had mentioned prior, that all of your counties are not only fictitious, not only are they a fraud, but they are a tax fraud on top of it. That letter that he read, he wrote to the U.S. Treasury. That was all about them getting on the IRS's butt to take care of business. And he pulled in that letter. As he had mentioned, the U.S. Treasury sent two agents out to his to meet with him, and he had a he had lunch, and they bought him coffee, and it was great. And the Treasury agent said, "This is the best explanation I've ever heard." So the point is, and I didn't know this, and I needed to re-listen to this video, that U.S. Marshals have been given the status of a municipal judge. I didn't know that. So Rob's approach was, he flagged the Treasury. The Treasury sent out some agents, and he gave his deposition. They give it to the U.S. Marshal, and it's the U.S. Marshal, not us, not our Committee of Safety, not you and me, but it's the U.S. Marshal that goes to a judge to get a warrant to arrest and or shut down the county. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's my message in tonight's call. That's how you take back your county. Boom. Smack. Easy peasy, and it's done. It is unbelievable how astoundingly powerful this information is. And the more you run it past yourself, the more you understand it. They do the fraud, and you can prove it with your FOIA, with the EIN, which is your employee identification number, the W-9, and the applications, I think he said 1023 and 1024, which are simply applications that a municipal corporation sends to the IRS so that they can be declared a tax-exempt a corporation. And when he talked about the W-9, the thing that I learned tonight that I finally grasped is that we enter unilateral contracts. You get a credit card. The credit card company didn't sign that contract. You get a mortgage. The mortgage company didn't sign that contract. You get a utility. The utility didn't sign that contract. Well, that's a unilateral contract. That's what the W-9 is for. The W-9 is for gifts and donations. I want to say that 8 times. The W-9 is for gifts and donations. So when you're paying a utility, when you're paying taxes, when you're paying fines, when you're paying assessments under contract law and the IRS, that's a gift or a donation. And that's what the W-9 is for. You ask for the W-9 because, as he pointed out, if they get a little skittish on your FOIA, you tell them, well, I just want to make a donation. I think that's pretty ultra cool. So all of this information is just reeling in my head, and every bone in my body with all the knowledge that I've acquired I repeat again, why go for crumbs when you can go for the whole sandwich? And this is tonight's message for your committees of safety to take back your county. You can do this in one fell swoop. All of a sudden, overnight, bang, smack, they no longer have status. And you've proven it. And Rob has pointed out that the evidence is everywhere. It's in the EIN. It's in the W-9, which the tax information doesn't match. They're operating under an assumed name. They don't have a DBA. And this is common. This is not an isolated incident. This is the common practice in the United States today. This works everywhere you turn. Whether your municipal corporation is your city or your town or your township or your county or your state or whatever municipal organization you can come up with, this seems to be the case straight across the board. And that is why I wanted to revisit this. You take the tools that you learned with our Freedom of Information Act and the affidavit if required, but the bottom line is if you do this all properly, it's U.S. Marshal that does all the dirty work for you. And so that's why I wanted to revisit this tonight, and I am very, very excited about this information. So that's the end of my presentation for this evening, and I wanted to allow a lot of time for questions. So let's go to questions now.
Hello?
Hello?
If I may.
Hi, buddy.
Is this written up somewhere, or are you going to run it up, put it on an LA website or something?
I have been advertising this video for months. It's called Make Them Whine, Ask for W-9.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube under Rob Ryder. I posted it on our NLA, Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin Facebook pages. I actually did put a post in the Committee of Safety on the National Liberty Alliance page today that also has that, but it's called Make Them Whine, W-H-I-N-E, Make Them Whine, Ask for W-9. It's the full video is an hour and a half. And as you can tell, Rob is definitely in our court. He's very much a common law guy. He does exactly what the NLA does, which is we run by common law, but when it's appropriate, we throw to statutes and codes that apply to them in their faces. And that's exactly what this presentation was all about. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Is the District of Columbia a municipal corporation?
They're all municipal corporations. But you bring up the only exception to this rule, which is going to require some deep advanced thinking. Because not only is the District of Columbia a municipal corporation, it's also a city-state. The three great city-states on the planet.
Vatican,
the City of London, the Vatican, and the District of Columbia. So that's a very, very, very special group of bad guys. But to answer your question, you betcha, the District of Columbia is a municipal corporation. Abso-frickin-lutely.
A point of information, John, for the gentleman who asked about the video. If you go to the COS tab on the National Liberty Alliance website and go to April 27th, 2017, and you'll see COS FOIA training supplements. And at the bottom of that post, in the comment section, you will see the websites for Rob Ryder videos on FOIAs and Central Violation Bureau.
Rob Ryder.
Rob Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, R-O-B-B. Yeah, you have three B's in this, Captain John. But that's okay.
I must have been nervous.
We got it up there anyway. So
for those who know me, I don't get nervous about anything, ever.
It's on the website. Just to let you know, I'm going to yield and I'll mute out.
It's not hard to find on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Make Them Wine, ask for W9, it pops right up. But yeah, we have posted it in several places over the last couple of months. So, yeah. Next.
I have a question. Is Ed from Duncan?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of the question.
This is Ed from Duncan. I have a question.
Ah, yes, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
I like an honest man. You know, that wasn't a flippant remark. Oh, yeah, I'm fine, and your life sucks. I like it when somebody says my life is awful. That's honest. I like that.
Maybe I'm a little confused here, but what exactly does this do? What's the benefit of doing this whole thing? What gets accomplished is what I'm trying to ask.
What we are trying to do with our committees of safety is to take back our county. That's what this is all about.
No, I understand that, but how does this take back? Like, how do we get? How is this giving us the power back? I'm confused. I'm sorry.
Well, understand. Well, look at it from this scenario. You go through this process. It gets all proven. All of a sudden, your county no longer exists. It's like the Bank of America wants to do business in Illinois, and I pull their business license. Boom, smack. Bank of America all of a sudden has to shut down all its banks, all its mortgage lending, and leave town. That's the answer to your question. That's what this does. Your county ceases to exist. Lock, stock, and barrel. All of it. They lose their business license if that's a more understandable term for purposes of this question. They're out of business immediately, all of it. That's why I said, why go for the crumbs when you can go for the sandwich? Our desire, our intent is to take back our counties. I don't know a better way to do it than this. It's right there, and it ain't hard. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't put anybody in any jeopardy. You can do this naked in your room from your computer. Alone. Alone. You know, I always bring up that lonely guy in South Dakota whose next LA member is 450 miles away. You can do this alone. Now think about this. If you alone are trying to start a committee of safety in your county, wherever that is, and you decide to do this, and you get this information, and it starts rolling. Do you think when you walk into town and you share this information, people are not going to want to find out what you know and hook up with you and form a committee of safety? I think they'll pay you to join a committee of safety. So that's what
powerful.
This does. Yeah, I just can't understate how powerful this is. I know there are people out there that haven't spent the time and acquired the legal knowledge and expertise and been in court and seen how screwed we got and possess all of this information. But even to a guy like me, I had to go and listen to this a few times before I got it. And when I got it, I mean, I got goosebumps right now. To put this power in the hands of the people that are on this call is incredible. It does exactly what we want to do. We want to start committees of safety, and once they're up and running, we want them to go take back their county. That's what this is all about. It's all about starting up committees of safety and taking back your county. And here is the best tool, the best approach I have ever come across to do so.
I have one other further question then. So you said it was the ones who actually do the dirty work is the what do they call again? Oh my good heavens!
The U.S. Marshals.
The U.S. Marshal. Okay. Now, how does that get intertwined with the sheriff of the county? and where
sheriff's out of business. Sheriff's out of business. Sheriff just lost his business license. He's gone. Poof. Bam. Smack. Okay? Are you getting any of this yet? Sheriff's
yes,
not a player
okay.
anymore. And right. trust me when I tell you, now let's break this down to be very specific. It is
wow.
likely. I can tell you in Lake County, Illinois, I have several DUNS numbers. Remember, if you are a corporation, you have a DUNS number. If you have a DUNS number, you are a corporation. Period. End of story. Not up for debate. And in Lake County, Illinois, I've got two DUNS numbers on the sheriff, two on the state's attorney, and four on the circuit court, and I didn't even look at the county. So understand that if the sheriff is not, the sheriff's department in your county is not a municipal corporation, then it falls when the county falls. And I really don't know the legalities. It just brings up a little interesting question. And even if the sheriff's department is its own separate municipal corporation, as it is in Lake County, Illinois, if the county falls, does that take down the sheriff's corporation as well? And the example here in this presentation, I don't know if you caught it. I'm going to repeat it again. He went and looked at the county of Kane. This is one of the counties in the surrounding Chicagoland area. And he went and traced down the county of Kane. And the county of Kane is incorporated under the city of Geneva, Illinois. So that would mean that if the city of Geneva is not a proper municipal corporation and it goes down, it takes down the county of Kane. So when you bring up the sheriff, I would assume, all things being equal, that when the county goes down, the sheriff goes down. I mean, it is boom, boom, out go the lights, last one out the door, grab the flag.
Wow.
That's the power of what we're discussing here. That's the sandwich.
Wow.
That's why I'm so excited. And that's why we went through the FOIAs and the affidavits so that you guys can learn, you know, basically how to put together a proper request, a proper document, so that you get this all right, so that when you lay it on them, that's it. There's no more story. I mean, this is just awesome stuff. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you do this and everything becomes defunct and these people leave office and then chaos ensues because there's no one to enforce the law, won't the committees of safety then be blamed for all the chaos?
First of all, I don't know, and secondly, I don't care. My job is to restore the Republic of the United States of America. And I have personally been trying to educate Sleeple for 7 years. And we are at the doorstep of this happening, and there is going to be a lot of panic because 9 out of 10 of your neighbors, your friends, your family, your church group, your school is going to freak the hell out, and there's nothing to be done about it. End of story. Everybody had a chance to wake up, smell the coffee, and get ready for this, and they're not. So I consider that a non-issue. I don't care.
Okay, so after it does ensue, I guess the strength of our committees of safety, if there is any strength in them, we will restore order.
Now think about what you just said, because now you're on the right track. We have the committees of safety. We have the militias. We have the Sons of Liberty. We have your constitutional groups. You have your ham radio operators. You got your volunteer fire departments, blah, 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 blah. There you go. You think that you can't get these people together in a big meeting and have a barrel of beer and some hot dogs and go, yeah, we can keep the lights on and until things are done? You think the people that work at the water filtration plant and the sewage treatment plant aren't going to continue to do their jobs to keep their community going? Think about it. You got to get out of the nanny state mentality and back to people are decent human beings that are going to be responsible to help their community. And I say that with confidence because for the last 15 years, I've worked as a disaster housing inspector assigned to every presidentially declared national disaster in the country. Sandy and Katrina, whatever. And every community I have ever been in after a disaster pulls together. Anybody who tells you any different is cabal, dark side, psyop, bullcrap. That's who people really are. And if you're going to pull the plug on your county immediately, I would say for a couple of days, things are going to be a little testy. That's why we're armed. You don't have to shoot anybody. Just say, hey, calm down. But after that, your community will pull together. They'll grab their bootstraps and they'll go on and get her done. That is my firm belief. And that is my answer to your question.
Okay. I appreciate that. And then the affidavit thing you went over a few weeks back, I think it was, you said you write your affidavit, the cable goes out, you don't call them, something else happens, say, you don't write a letter, you just write your affidavit. Now, this is embedded in all of this?
What I have said from the very beginning is I don't write letters. I don't make phone calls. I don't stand in line. Everything I do, every move I make is by affidavit.
And you say that, okay, and you say you watch the magic happen. I'm ignorant of all of this, or not all of it, but a good deal of it. So what kind of magic would happen if you wrote an affidavit, say, for anything that you've done it for, like a cable company or even a utility company? What kind of magic does happen?
All right, we'll walk through the affidavit process again. So you write your affidavit. The power of an affidavit is that it is, in the current system, evidence. Evidence is considered to be either eyewitness testimony or an affidavit, unless you happen to have a dripping knife from a murder, you know, that kind of thing. So that's the power of an affidavit. So you go through the process, and the process is I'm going to complain to a credit card company about a fictitious bill. So the first thing you do is you send them an affidavit, okay? And I will add, since we're going into the advanced stuff here, you do it in the form of a notary presentment. The difference between an affidavit and a notary presentment is simply that your notary takes it to the post office and physically mails it, and then they respond, whoever they are, directly to your notary in the mail. So you've got this third-party witness. So you write your affidavit, your notary mails it, you send it to the credit card company, and you give them 21 days to respond. What happens after 21 days? The notary did not receive a response. Well, you're being a nice guy. You really want to satisfy this problem. So you write the credit card company another affidavit that says, I'm giving you an extra 10 days because doo-doo happens, and I don't know why, but I'm going to give you another 10 days. And after that period, your notary still doesn't receive a response. Then you mail them another affidavit called a notice of default. And so your notary mails that, and you're done. Because in an affidavit, according to the rules, if you do not address everything in that affidavit point by point, silence in law is equated with guilt. If you do not address all of those points in that affidavit, then whatever you did not address, you have admitted, you have affirmed, you have agreed that what is in that affidavit is true. And that's the power of an affidavit, and that's the process. Once you have that default, excellent. Once you have that notice of default, that is equal to a court judgment by a court judge in court from the bench. That is the power of a default.
Super. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. This is important stuff. Good question. Because I know a lot of you guys are, you know, a little green, a little new, and that's why I wanted to open this question and answer period tonight, because these are the things that I want to hear so that I can help you guys dot your I's and cross your T's. So very good question. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
John, I have a correction to make. Are you there?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, and the correction is I didn't realize that you had put information specifically for this call in the comment section. So just go to the top of, you know, July 20th, and you'll find everything you need right there in two of the comments that John had put up last night, I guess. Thank you.
Okay.
And, one more thing. I think that I might have mentioned this before on one of the calls, is that in 2009, before I knew anything about Rob Ryder and what he was doing, I had asked questions about the township and how it was organized and how, you know, to provide the legal instruments that created each and every entity in and its constitution, because I found out that the tax collector had filed an oath that was not according to what is required in Pennsylvania. And what I found out after pursuing it and getting the runaround, I went ahead and I appealed to Harrisburg. And what I got back from the woman, or woman in Harrisburg, Office of Open, Agency of Open Records Officer, her name is Audrey Ellen Gaines, and she said, however, I did a little research with the Pennsylvania State Archives. The clerk of courts for Lackawanna County may have the records that you requested. The contact information for the city clerk is listed below. Now, Lackawanna County is in Pennsylvania, and it is Jacqueline Safaro, city clerk in Lackawanna, New York. Okay? The city of Lackawanna, New York. So this goes right along with what Rob Ryder was saying, that your county may not even be in the state, listed in the state as far as where it's going to take you. Now, the interesting thing is that this woman with the Agency of Open Records in Harrisburg in the governor's office went ahead and CC'd everyone I had CC'd, the Department of Revenue, the Department of State, Securities Commission, and the Office of Attorney General Criminal Prosecution Section and Real Estate Commission. Okay, so in real estate in Pennsylvania, the definition is somewhat like, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, interest in land, whether corporate or interest in property or real estate or however sort of, whether corporeal or incorporeal, whether in this commonwealth or out of this commonwealth, whether freehold or non-freehold. So essentially, and I'm thinking to ourselves, you know, according to scripture, we are dirt. We are, you know, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. So I'm thinking, incorporeal, does that mean that's our intellectual property? And of course, you know, the way the taxes are for the schools and stuff like that, I mean, if a child's education is funded with debt-based promissory notes, who does that child belong to, their intellectual property belong to after the school educates them? It really gets deep. So it's like our legislators are nothing but real estate brokers when it comes right down to it. If we are a piece of dirt, well, yeah, and incorporeal, freehold, non-freehold, and timeshare, okay? So, I mean, that's like when we allow an easement on our property, that's like a timeshare, isn't it? So, I mean, all these words have taken on a different meaning at law. I think about it that way, and, you know, I'm going off on a tangent. Anyway, I still would encourage people to, take a look at ratification and nullification, ratification of that 1787 Constitution and nullification of 11 through 27. And just like with a computer, when it's not working anymore, you refresh. And I think that's kind of like
you were not going to be talking about that tonight.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Anybody hear me?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Okay. So
I hear
a couple of comments here. you know, Nikki's pointing out that what's supposed to be in Pennsylvania was in New York. And then Ryer pointing out with the county of Kane being under the city of Geneva, this stuff is just over the top. But the beauty of Ryder's approach here is this is very simple. It keeps us out of the hot seat. This way they turn on each other in that regard. So it should be an eye opener. And the point I'm trying to make here is that the committees of safety don't have to get heavily involved. You don't need a whole lot of knowledge. You don't have to study all this statutory horse crap. You can do this very simply. Well, where's your tax letter from the IRS that says you can do what you can do as a county? End of story. It doesn't go any more or any less than that. It's a beautiful, simplified process. But the eye-opener here is that example of what's supposed to be in Pennsylvania was in New York, and Kane County is not Kane County. It's actually City of Geneva. So that's the point I want to make from this particular presentation. So anyway, next question.
I thought the 16th Amendment was unconstitutional, and they have proved that. So when you go forward with all this IRS information, what if they pull the carpet out from under you by saying the 16th Amendment was never ratified properly through the Congress and the Senate?
That's a separate discussion for another night.
But is it a valid discussion?
No.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get at.
Okay.
And how do you enforce your judgment?
What judgment? What are you talking about? I'm not enforcing nothing.
You did your affidavit, and it stands the power and weight of a court judgment.
You're going back to affidavits. Well, the quick answer under the statutory courts right now is that you have to go back into court and have a judge extract the payment. You got to get back in the hamster cage and start all over again. That's the answer to your question under current circumstances.
And do you use the sheriff or do you use the marshal?
That's up to the judge. That's none of your business or mine. That's
but
the judge is your jurisdiction. The judge decides who's going to go out and enforce payment.
If you just clean the clock on the county, the court doesn't exist either.
Well, maybe not. We don't know now if the county goes down, does the courts go down, if they're a separate corporation. I don't know that to be true.
I see.
I don't really know.
It takes a lot of research, doesn't it?
Hey, I'm real happy with bringing down a county. That'll get everybody else in line real frickin' quick.
Thank you.
If I bring down a county, I don't have to bring down the courts. They'll follow because they'll know it's game, set, and match. It's over. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, you've got to actually go back to court and get a judge to enforce payment. And he'll send out whatever guns are available to do so. That's the process. That's the world we live in. Hope that answers your question.
Well, it did if the county is still around to do it. That was my point.
Well, here's my point, and I've reiterated this point over and over and over again. Stop living in the old paradigm. Your questions are all very valid, considering the fact that we lose, the cabal continues to run this planet, and we're all screwed. I'm here to tell you that we're weeks and months away from some epic things coming. We're here to restore the Republic, and we're on the doorstep. So get your head out of the old paradigm and put it into the new paradigm. What's the new paradigm? The MLA is going to restore the judiciary and put in common law courts of record, and this question is easily answered. So, yes, as of right now, the moment of this phone call, everything you just said is true. But by the time you start writing affidavits, go through the default process, and go to a judge to get your judgment, I'm telling you this is all over. Put your heads in the new paradigm. That's how close we are.
Amen.
If I may.
Amen to that.
If I may.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Captain John, I believe the militia is going to be key. Knowing what they're doing.
That ain't
going to
happen in Northeast Illinois. That may happen out west and in other areas, but I will tell you, we are basically mega screwed in Northeast Illinois. The militias, the Oath Keepers, the Sons of Liberty, and every damn buddy else is absolutely freaking useless as far as being organized enough to come to the aid of our county in a time of need. That's how it is here. I pray to God it is different elsewhere.
Have you done it in Northeast Lake County, Illinois?
I have been involved in Lake County as the Lake County NLA chairman. I'm a state coordinator. I'm an oath keeper. I have tried to bring the Oath Keepers and the Sons of Liberty and the militias up to speed. The big problem as I see it, and I don't care who gets pissed off because it's absolute fact, is that we are all conditioned and deceived and brainwashed, all of us. But the ex-current and retired military are even more brainwashed because they went through what they call basic training. MK Ultra calls it trauma-based mind control. And the ex and the current and the retired military absolutely refuse to see the light. And I have specifically worked with them for 3 years, and I beat my head against the wall. And so those are the people in great numbers, at least in Northeast Illinois, who are members of the militias and the Sons of Liberty and the Oath Keepers. And that's only part of the reason why they're dysfunctional, but it is a key point. So that's my point.
Have you taken control of Lake County, Captain? I'm sorry, what? Have you taken control, John? I'm sorry, people talking at the same time. Other than me.
I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't catch it.
Well, you said that the retired military is brain dead when it comes to.
I didn't say brain dead. I said brainwashed, and I said current ex and retired military.
Yeah.
And I don't care about exceptions to the rule. That is true by the vast majority of the numbers, and I stand by that.
Yeah, I do.
Nobody's
going to
tell me otherwise.
But I'm retired military, and I saw the light, so I know there's a few of us.
Well, there are people I caught. Well, the numbers I always toss out is 3%. 3% on this planet get it. And in the Oath Keepers that I belong to, there are 3% of the Oath Keepers that I met many years ago. We band together. They get it. I'm sure 3% in the militias. I am sure there's 3% in the Sons of Liberty. And I'm a conservative, so I would venture to guess maybe easily double that number. Absolutely. There are core people in all of those organizations who get it. Absolutely.
We who are involved with militias, we don't think there's even 3%.
I was talking to a guy who was the chief military dude with the militias in Indiana. He's a friend of Bob's down there in Indiana. And he and I spent an afternoon together, and he would agree with you on that one. The stories he told me, he just bailed out and ran. He said, every organization gets infiltrated. The NLA has been astounding in holding off the wolves in that we have our internal problems, but we don't have any external problems coming in. But he was talking about Indiana. He said, man, some of those chapters went wild weasel, and they went off the reservation. And he had to run because they were actually, you know, stepping into the realm of insurrection. And that's coming from the commander of the state of Indiana. So, God bless him. Next.
Hello?
Yes.
How are you?
Okie dokie. I'm starving. I haven't eaten all day, so you can send me a pie express if you like.
I'm actually eating barbecue right now, but
that makes me feel so much better. Thank you for that.
A lot of our military is not brainwashed because, you know, I know a former NASA astronaut.
I'm not
going to
get into this discussion. I'm not going to get into this discussion. You said a lot, and you're wrong. If you said not all, I would have agreed with you. You said not a lot. I disagree with you completely. So if you've got something else to say, great. Otherwise, we're going to move on.
Okay. Well, I met a man that was in his 80s, and he recently died, and he was from the Navy, from the USS WASPA. And he's told me a lot of things as well. So, you know, not all our military are brainwashed.
I never said all were. We just discussed.
No, the other guy did. The other guy that was on the phone, he was saying that, you know, a lot
of people. I'd say 3% is a big number. And Robert disagrees. He thinks it's lower. But at any rate, I'm not interested in contrarians that put out numbers that are irrelevant. In science, anything less than 5% is irrelevant. And we're definitely under 5%.
You're correct, but 1 plus 1 can't equal 2 if the universe is comprised of ones and zeros if it's not binary or linear. So I will leave you with that.
The good news, you know, and I'm going to put this to rest right now. We're not discussing it any further. The good news is I know what is in the hearts of all current ex and retired military. And after a little toe-to-toe, and I may have to put a gun to the head of the Oath Keepers or the militias to get them in line, but once they understand that they're not in command and control, they have no idea who the enemy is, and we're not going to let you guys run around with guns. You're going to be guided by us. Once you get to that point, they're going to be there for us. You can count on them. As I said earlier, they're part of the community. They're part of your county. You know, they're just going to take a little time to bring them into the fold, but they'll be there. I never said they wouldn't.
I agree. 100%.
Well, they'll all be there after they get it beat into their heads, but you know, they actually see what's coming down.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I meant by command and control. They're not going to be in command and control. They're going to have to be led down the right path. So anyway, let's let that lie. I knew that was going to be an issue. But I had to say what I had to say because I spent a lot of hours banging my head against the wall on this problem. Anyway, next question. Come on, toss them at me. Come on.
Sounds like it's dinner time.
You too. Both of you are twisting the knife on me, both of you. One's eating barbecue, the other one's talking about dinner time. Thanks a lot. Well, if there are no more questions, I've got nothing else to say.
All righty. I'm shutting down the recording.